want to speak to you on the breastplate of righteousness, which is one part of the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, it'll be verse 14. I'll read starting with verse 10, but verse 14 is where we're going to concentrate our remarks. Everybody there? Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you want to know how to do that, how do you do that? Put on the armor of God. That's how you do it. Put on the whole armor of God. Remember now, that means every article in the armor of God, we've got to put it on. If we don't put on every article, some part of us will be defenseless. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle, how much I love that word. It's one-on-one, close quarters combat. Did you not have to wrestle a little bit to get here this morning? Maybe wrestle with yourself, wrestle with this, that, and the other. Wrestle with the alarm clock, on and on I could go. Right? Wrestle with not feeling good. Isn't it funny how bad is so prevalent, even in our own thinking, in our own mind and attitude and everything. Isn't it just amazing? We wrestle every day. Anyway, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we're up against. And when I think about that, I think about how defenseless I am in and of myself. Wherefore, take unto you. Now, this armor is something you have to take. It's not going to do you one bit of good thrown in a pile in the corner. If your armor's just all thrown in a pile in the corner, or if my armor's in the closet, and if I don't use it, y'all, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And it's an evil day we live in, and going to get worse. I'm fearing that the 20s of the 22nd century, the 21st century, will be worse than the 20s of the 20, whatever, anyway. I'll be okay. And having done all, having put on your armor to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That's from last Sunday. Let me say that's, of course, this is a spiritual warfare. It's a warfare concerning ideas and truth and right and wrong and theology and philosophy. That's what this warfare is about. It's not a physical carnal warfare. You're not going to be shooting. Satan's not going to shoot literal bullets at you or literal arrows, but he's going to be shooting arrows at you. Fiery darts. And the very first thing we've got to do, as we learned last week, is gird up the loins of our mind. Fill our minds with truth. And of course, the first thing you've got to do is acknowledge that there's such a thing as truth. Remember now, truth just is suspended out here. Truth is non-subjective. It's just out here. And what our job is to figure out what the truth is and learn all we can about it. And remember, this is the word of truth. So the very first thing is to fill our minds with truth. Now you're subjected to a great deal of malarkey, aren't you? The way to counteract that is just fill your mind and see. We need to ground ourselves every single day in the truth of God's word. I mean from the get-go. And then he gets to the second article. And by the way, I think these articles are in order, just like they're supposed to be. So the first thing you start out with is truth. What's the truth about, okay, and y'all, what's the truth of Jesus Christ? Now, I just want you to think with me just for a minute. I'm not trying to be mean, but think about all the different truths about Jesus Christ that are out there in the world. How many different truths of Jesus Christ are out there in the world? Well, there's a whole bunch of them, aren't there? And they don't all agree with each other. How am I going to know which one is which? The only way is God's holy word. Did you know, according to Paul, there's really only one gospel? How am I going to know which one's which? Only way is knowing is the word of God. The only way. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And then he says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, righteousness just means right actions. Doing right. And I love the fact that he calls this a breastplate. Now, a breastplate in all old armies, old Roman armies, was what covered your vital organs, right? You got vital organs in there, and you got other organs that are not so vital. Did you know that? You got a couple of vital organs. Your heart is a vital organ. Your lungs are vital, is a vital organ. You know, you can lose a kidney. I know men that have lost a kidney. You know anybody that lost a kidney? Did you know you can survive with one kidney? By the way, isn't it great that God gave us two and we can survive with just one? I consider that glorious. And we got two kidneys, we can make it with one. You can make it with one kidney. You can't make it without a heart. Right? You know, so the breastplate covered your vital organs. In ancient warfare, y'all, one well-placed shot getting a vital organ would be your end. How important is it that we have a breastplate of righteousness on? Now, amazingly enough, I want you to hold your finger there. I want you to turn to Isaiah 59. Because this kind of blew my mind when I figured this out. Paul here in Ephesians 6 is actually referring to a verse over here in the 59th chapter of Isaiah. So I want you to back up there to Isaiah 59. And it's verse 17. Isaiah 59:17. Paul was so completely chock full of the scriptures that it just oozed out all the time. That's how full of the scriptures he was. It just oozed out. And that's the way we all ought to be too. So you're supposed to put on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, you're to put on, you and I, are to put on righteousness as a breastplate to protect our vital organs from the fiery darts of Satan. All this in the spiritual realm. Now, back to Isaiah. I'm going to start in verse 16. The he in verse 16 is Christ. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. That is, none. You remember that verse over there says none to help? And in case you don't know what none means, it adds that little expression, no, not one. In case you don't know what none means, it means not one. There's none to help, no, not one. So the Lord looked, and lo and behold, there's none to help. And he wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him. Who brought the salvation? His arm. That is Christ. Does it sound like Christ tried to bring salvation and sort of got the job done? Or he made some things to where, you know, you can bring salvation? No, he brought salvation to himself. Christ did it. I was talking to Mike this morning. Matthew 1:21, I quoted, by the way, I've already quoted Matthew 1:21 to Baby James. I said, Baby James, this is my favorite, Matthew 1:21. And he shall save his people from their sins. I don't know how you get around that one. He's going to save some people. Who's he going to save? Did Christ come to save everybody? No, he came to save his people. His people, which is a number like the sands of the sea, far more than will ever be Christianized, that's who's going to be saved by the blood of Jesus. Saved from what? From their sin. He shall save his people from their sin. He did it. Did he not? Did he shed his blood? Absolutely. Did his blood wash away their sins? Absolutely. Are they saved? Absolutely. Are they going to be preserved? Absolutely. Are they secure? Absolutely. Well, but what's going on with this warfare down here when we got to put this armor on? Y'all thinking? Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Next verse. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. Christ did that. Does that not kind of blow your mind? So here Paul is saying that we're supposed to do that. Well, Christ has already set the example for us. He put on breastplate, on the righteousness as a breastplate, and he lived righteous every single day of his life. By the way, let me tell you something. Just let me throw something out here. Let me inform you that you are not going to be perfect. You're not. No matter how hard you try, you are not going to stop sinning ever. In fact, the individual that thinks they've stopped sinning just sinned by thinking that they stopped. Now, I'm not saying that to you to tell you not to strive. We should all strive to sin less and less. But when you slip up, when you hit your thumb with a hammer and it slips out, beg God for forgiveness, but don't beat yourself up. Hear me? Jesus Christ was perfect. You're never going to be perfect until you're standing in his righteousness. All right. Now, I just find it interesting that Jesus put on this breastplate of righteousness. Okay. Now, so the breastplate is to protect our vital organs from the fiery darts of Satan. One well-aimed shot, could kill a soldier, and may I say, one thing can do us terrible damage in our spiritual warfare. One well-placed fiery dart of Satan can do us terrible damage in our spiritual warfare. Would you agree with that? I mean, I just was thinking about that this morning. I know preachers whose ministries have been destroyed by sin. Say their eternal life has been destroyed, but their public ministries. I know marriages that have been destroyed by sin. You know any of that? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Sin is destructive. Sin just leaves a wake of destruction behind it. And I'm really speaking of unrepentant sin here, okay? Did you know the Bible teaches that nations can be destroyed because of unrepentant sin? The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. You know what America needs? To put on the armor of God. That's what it needs. More than straightening out the mess in Washington. In fact, that's the only thing that's going to straighten out the mess in Washington. Is for people to put on the armor of God, for this nation to put on the armor of God, for the people in Washington to put on the armor of God, specifically righteousness as a breastplate. Don't ever think politics is going to save America. What's going to save America is righteousness. Righteousness might even bless us to be preserved from politics. That's a terrible thing to say. I know lots of, I know not lots, I know a few, I have known of a few young people who've rebelled against what they were raised as and caused themselves terrible damage. And the only reason I'm mentioning all those negative things is to show you what the breastplate of righteousness would protect us and save us from as individuals, as families, as a nation, and since I mention it, even as churches. Now, y'all, I want to say that I think these are in order. So there's the breastplate of righteousness a little bit, but I think these are in order. That is, it started with the very first thing was truth. The truth about God, the truth about Christ, the truth about what God has done, the truth about the character of God, what God is like, the truth about the works of God, the truth about the purpose of God. By the way, I love to think about a sovereign God, don't you? Did you know God is sovereign? Did you know God does what he pleases? Now, we can think about that. Okay. John and Olivia do not need to let James do whatever he pleases. But God does whatever he pleases because his nature is holy. Nothing pleases God that is not 100% holy. So he does what he pleases. And by the way, where does God do what he pleases? I'm telling you right now, this is a cardinal principle of filling your mind with truth that leads to righteousness. God works his will among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? The Lord does what he pleases in the seas and in the earth and in all deep places. He does what he pleases. So what happens when what you please and what he pleases? Yeah, just take a guess what he's going to do. Oh, me. And when the Lord leaves you in a situation where you have a free will to do things, and he does, you certainly have free will. Your free will is not limitless, but you do have, as a child of God, you do have the free will to serve God or not. Amen? I mean, you know, he's not going to make you serve him. By the way, there are people that believe that. Merciful heavens. So all of these things are involved in the truth about that we need to know about God. And we need to understand that God sent Christ, born of a virgin, amen, and sent him to live his life and bleed and die for all of his sheep that have ever lived from Adam and Eve to the last one, and all among all nations of earth, everywhere in the world, in all time. Whether they ever fully understand that or not, he came to save them from their sins. Are you with me? I just cannot stress how important that is. Because what that means is when we put on the, are you listening? When we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we're not putting it on so that we can go to heaven. In fact, it's almost, y'all listen, it's almost to such a degree that if I'm putting on my breastplate of righteousness because I think that's what's going to get me to heaven, I'm not putting on the breastplate of righteousness I'm supposed to be. What I should be doing is putting on the breastplate of righteousness because I'm going to heaven, because of what God has done for me. Would that make a difference? Think about it. Am I just serving God to save myself? I mean, that's a little bit ironic. Or am I serving God because of what he's done for me already? This objective truth suspended out here in hanging out here in space that has nothing to do with me or you, that God performed. Isn't that great? According to his will. According to his grace. Which was given to us, by the way, in case you're wondering when that was given to you, before the foundation of the world. So this righteousness is based on truth. Now what I'm telling you is, you, listen to me, you are commanded here in God's word to take unto you. You have to grab this shield, this breastplate of righteousness. You've got to grab it and put it on. It will not do you one bit of good if it's in your closet at home. Or do y'all have a shed somewhere full of junk? Anybody got one of them? Ours is in the attic. And Becky sends me up there to get stuff. Most of that stuff up there is junk. Well, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to do me one bit of good if my breastplate of righteousness is in the attic. Are you with me? If the truth of God is in the attic, it's not going to, I've got to have it. So I've got to take this, you listening? I've got to take the breastplate. I've got to buckle it on. And I want you to know that is not and has nothing to do with your eternal righteousness and your eternal standing before God. Christ put the breastplate on. By the way, in Jeremiah, he is called the Lord, our righteousness. love you like crazy. And you're some of the best people I've ever known. But in and of yourselves, you have no righteousness whatsoever. In and of yourselves, in fact, even the best you can do, even as a redeemed, informed child of God, is still not good enough. Are you with me? I want y'all to know that the only righteousness you've got as far as landing you in heaven, and you can't go to heaven if you're guilty of sin. Are you with me? The only righteousness you have that is going to land you in heaven is the righteousness that Christ lived and was imputed to you. And incidentally, you didn't take that righteousness unto yourself. God imputed it to you. Are you with me? But now this righteousness I'm describing, this breastplate, is righteous actions that we have to take and put on every day. And it protects us from all the pain and destruction and agony and torture and unrest that can result from unrepentant sin in our daily lives. Are you with me? But I want y'all to know it's based on, this is why truth comes first. This breastplate of righteousness, I want you to understand, it's really important. It's important to how happy you are in your life. It's important to how comfortable you are in your life. And when I say comfortable, I mean protected from harm. Now, sometimes we put too much emphasis on being comfortable, don't we? I think about the gospel. You know, the gospel makes the miserable comfortable, and it makes the comfortable miserable. That's what the gospel's supposed to do. You hear me? If you're too comfortable in your righteous actions, the gospel ought to make you squirm just a little bit. Me too. That's why preaching's hard on preachers, isn't it, Brother Philip? Because, you know, we're preaching this, and it's making us uncomfortable. There you are. Okay. Let me quote you another one. I want y'all to know the imputed Christ's righteousness was imputed to you. That's not what I'm talking about. When you put this breastplate on, let me give you another one. In Romans 4, it says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Let me say that again. It's Romans 4:19. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." You mean there's people out there that the Lord won't impute sin to? Well, what does that mean? Think about it. Okay, if your sin was imputed to Christ on the cross, God will not impute that sin to you. And when your sin was imputed to Christ on the cross, that perfect righteous breastplate that he strapped on, that perfect righteousness was imputed to you. No ifs, ands, or buts. No qualifications. No strings attached. And the reason eternal salvation is not based on what we do, it's not based on the activities of us, it's not conditional on our part, is because when we're dead in sins, we're not in any condition to meet any conditions. But this breastplate is something we strap on every day, and it's righteous actions. Okay, and incidentally, even when you say righteous actions, you got to stop and think, okay, how do I know what's right? How do I know what's wrong? How do I know? Where's the standard I measure? Where's the standard I use to measure what's right and wrong? Well, I sure hope it's not Facebook. Okay? I hope it's not. Well, I hope it's not anything other than. I'll tell you something else. I hope it's not anything other than the Word of God. You know what else won't work? It won't work if we try to measure right and wrong by how we feel. Well, it's just so awful that that's taught these days. How do you feel about it? All right. If right and wrong and truth is this objective reality that's just hanging out here, then what my job is to figure out what exactly it is and conform my life to it. Amen. That's my job. That is putting on this breastplate of righteousness. Right actions. Not like those people that are referred to over there in Isaiah that call right and wrong and call dark light. And y'all, I need your prayer so bad. I want to quote you David Barton one more time this morning, because part of the problem in the world we live in is that this breastplate of righteousness, which is righteousness that you have to take unto yourself, and you buckle it on yourself, and you put it on there every single day, and it protects you from all the malarkey, all the stuff out there that will destroy, can harm us and hurt us and reduce our spirit. Listen, the fiery darts of Satan can reduce the blessing of our spiritual life. They can weaken us spiritually. Sin will do that. It will weaken us spiritually. Has that ever happened to you? Oh, Lordy, I can't even stand to think about it. This armor will protect us from that. Right actions will protect us from that. It's given to us by a loving God to protect us. It is not given to God in order to cramp our style. It's given to us by God to protect us from all the stuff out there. And it's the only thing that will protect you from that. Strapping on this breastplate of righteousness every day. And y'all, do we need it? Because just think of how much we are all inundated with untruth. Well, you get the idea. And then worse than that, you see so many of God's children. Here's the deal I want y'all to know, God's people were saved by Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want y'all to believe that. That is an objective reality hanging out here in space. You're going to be happier if you believe it. You're going to have more peace and comfort in your heart if you believe it. You'll actually love God more if you believe that. If you realize that your salvation was bought and paid for by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that it is impossible for any person he died for to burn in hell. When you realize that, it's going to be better for you. That's an objective reality. But y'all, so many of God's children, they never get that. And not only that, they don't get this breastplate. They're not even taught it by preachers. Current studies show that only 10% of Christians have a biblical worldview. You know why they don't have a biblical worldview? They don't read the Bible. They're not taught the Bible. Only 14% read the Bible on a daily basis. Well, that hurts, doesn't it? It's going to be hard to have a biblical worldview if we don't read the Bible once in a while. And here's the part that scares me the most. Only 2.8% of American pastors are willing to apply the Bible to current issues. Less than 3% of American pastors are willing to stand in their pulpits and proclaim the armor of God and the breastplate of righteousness to the people, that the people may put on the breastplate of righteousness and be protected from all the stuff they hear all week. So many of God's children never even get to the point where they know there's a breastplate of righteousness to put on. And so many of God's children that don't have the opportunity to put on the breastplate or refuse to put it on. Sometimes they're wounded by a fiery dart of Satan, and it takes a long time to get over it. Are you with me? Y'all, I tell you, it's so important. And I blame the preachers. Now, I don't know what their motive is. I don't know. All right. Now, I want to say, let me just close out this crazy sermon with another little point. Over in the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. Don't turn to it. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible refers to the church as the army of the Lord. Actually, what it says is that the church is terrible as an army with banners. That's what it is there in Song of Solomon 6:10. And I've told you over and over down through the years that I insist that the Bible is a military book, and I insist that one way of looking at the local church is as a military unit. Terrible. Now, the word terrible in Elizabethan days didn't mean like gross and nasty and yucky. It meant awesome, striking fear or dread. The church is supposed to be terrible as an army with banners. That is, this is the army of the Lord. You're in it. So I want to extend that just a little bit and say, the church, your local church is actually a training camp, okay? It's a training camp. Can I call this Camp Point Remove? This is Camp Point Remove. Because you see, you come here, and what you're supposed to get, and you have the right to expect it, is to get the explication of God's Word. What else is going to save us? What else is going to protect us? What else is going to protect us from all this stuff out here? What else is going to protect the youth? What else is going to protect the families? What else will protect preachers? What's going to protect the nation? What's going to protect us from all this stuff? The truth of God's Word, that's what. And you have every right to expect to get it here, and it should be the focal point of our worship. And part of the problem with religion in America is they've departed the explication of God's Word for entertainment. That's just the way it is. And so the people get entertained, but they don't get their armor. They're not taught how to put on their armor. They're not taught there is such a thing as an armor. They're not taught how to use it, not taught to put it on, not taught what is involved in it. And so they go out into the world unprepared. Are you with me? God forbid that that be the case at Camp Point Remove. You know what that's going to mean? It's going to mean we're somewhat less popular. But we're going to do what the Lord would have us do. My goal, my desire, as Paul would say, is that the children of God that come here would be saved from all these things that are out here in this world. And the only way you're going to be saved from all those things in the world is to put on this breastplate of righteousness, the right actions which are defined by Almighty God, described by Almighty God. And I didn't quote to James yet. I didn't quote Ephesians 6:1 to James yet, but I will soon. You know what Ephesians 6:1 says? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a real good place to start with children. That's teaching them to put on some armor right there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. By the way, that's the first commandment with promise. Remember that? They're over there in the Ten Commandments, that's the first commandment. It has a promise attached to it, that thy days may be long upon the earth. You might live a longer life if you obey your parents. That's what the Bible says. You may scoff. And I tell you one thing for sure. If you obey your parents, well, if I had obeyed my parents, I would not have experienced near as much pain and I don't speak only of physical pain imparted to my posterior, although I got a lot of that. I also speak of the pain of being nearly 60 years old and still feeling guilty for how I disrespected and dishonored my parents. That's the worst of it. Physical pain's nothing by comparison to that. Are you young people listening? You know what? I would have been protected. I would have not had all that inflicted on me if I had on the armor of God a little better when I was a young man. Are you with me? I mean, the quality of our spiritual life is really at stake. I didn't say that whether we have spiritual life or not, but the quality of it is kind of at stake with whether or not we're going to put on this armor of God. And here you are at Camp Point Remove. And here's where you're supposed to be taught about the armor of God, about the righteousness of God, about how you're about God's word. And by the way, not just the preacher's opinion. Now it better be his opinion, but he better be basing it on God's holy word. That's why it starts with truth and then righteousness. And see, the thing about it, of course, these days, the very idea that I would stand here and say there's absolute right and wrong makes me, not PC for sure, and outmoded and outdated and not with it or whatever. I don't even know what to say. So many people want to reject the fact that there are just things that are right and there are just things that are wrong. And the things that are wrong will do you harm. Not good. So the church is described as the army of the Lord, as a military unit. Do y'all agree with that? I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. You are too. And if you're not, if you're here today and you're not in the Lord's army, you ought to join the church today. Come on here to Camp Point Remove and you'll be instructed according to God's word, I trust. Not because I'm great, because I'm not great, but God's word is very great. I want to go on record today as I close. I want to go on record as telling you that right here in the Church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which, by the way, in the New Testament is called the pillar and ground of the truth. Where better to be trained in the proper use of the breastplate of righteousness than in the pillar and ground of the truth? Where better to come to learn how to use it, to learn what is involved in it, what are the aspects of it? And I believe with all my heart, this is the best place to come for the young people to be protected, to learn to put on the armor, to be protected from all the darts that are shot at the young people. And I'm not sure but what, that there are more darts shot at the young people than at anybody else. They don't shoot darts at old geezers like me much. You want to know why? Part of that is old geezers are set in their ways anyway. Young people are so susceptible. This is the best place to come to learn how to put on your armor. Are you with me? This is the best place for married couples to come and learn how to have a righteous and godly marriage. Not because I'm great, not because I've got all that figured out, but I promise you, the principles are taught in God's Word. Those principles are taught in God's Word about the man being the spiritual leader in the home, and it starts with him. First thing he better get serious about is submitting himself to Christ in all things. You men hearing me? And then the ladies will be happier to submit to us as their spiritual leaders. Where are you going to hear that in the world today? You're not going to hear that in most of the religious counselors that are out there. Maybe some. But I tell you right now, that's the only thing that'll bind that man and that woman together and that they'll be happiest that they could possibly be. Now, does that mean they're not going to have problems? It does not mean that. Does that mean they're not going to disagree on things? It does not mean that. Becky will say to me, where do you want to go eat? And I'll say, CJ's. Every time. You know what? She doesn't agree with that. I mean, every time. You know, she doesn't agree with that every time. She said, what? She said, and me and Seth are the same way. Seth said, Dad, where do you want to go? CJ's. Okay. Becky said, I don't want to go there. Oh, that's all right. That's okay, isn't it? Doesn't mean you're going to agree on every single thing. You'll be able to get over that and get around it and go on. Oh, I'm telling you, those truths are in God's Word and God's Word only. And then how children are supposed to submit to their parents and be obedient to their parents, that's where their joy will come. Oh, young people, Obey your parents in the Lord in all things, for this is right. And when you're 60 years old, you'll be happier. I'm telling you. And the things that would save the nation are in God's word. Period. The righteousness. I thank you for your great attention. You're absolutely a wonderful bunch. I do want to wish you a happy new year.